I'm playing that on purpose. You're thinking, what the heck is he playing that for? Doggy, how are you, Doggy? And I'll tell you why I'm playing it. It's Tom McCormick, it's a songbook, of course, and that being The Rose of Tralee. And I have a man in front of me called Ross Scanlon, who has, I was going to say, an affinity with the great man. But you would have that, wouldn't you?
I suppose I do. Since a young age, Marty, I've been listening to his music, and I grew up on it, kind of. It was kind of like the bread and butter when I was having singing lessons at Amory O'Sullivan.
Really?
Yeah, it's what I kind of started with. It's how she eased me into singing on a Saturday morning out in Glastool. And I just always loved him. I always loved his voice, how he told a story, the diction, the breath. There was just something that drew me to him.
And we should also remember the fact that he was an enormous star.
He was like a rock star of the opera world back in the day.
Yes,
and he really kind of put Irish opera singers that maybe weren't that well known of his generation, put them on the map.
Yeah.
And he became a household name. You know,
I've always said that The Rose of Tralee, I have a copy of that on a 78.
Yeah.
And I always think anybody who presented The Rose of Tralee should have to buy that and have it at home. I have it at home in a frame. It's
amazing.
It's 78. Like, why not? And it's red. I think it's a red label, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, it's
probably looking forward to
it. I doubt it very much. I think you'll find it's worth nothing. But the fact remains, there's probably loads of them, you see.
Yeah.
Loads of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we would have been a fan. And my mother, Goldsmiths Terrace is where he was from.
Yeah.
In Athlone. My mother was born in Raird.
No way.
She was born elsewhere, but she lived up to her teenage years in Goldsmiths Terrace.
Wow.
And this is a claim to fame.
There you go.
Down the road from John
Corbett. Could be related, Martin.
I doubt it. There's quite a difference in age.
Yeah, okay.
But anyway, obviously, she only passed a few years ago. So look, so this event, first thing we better say that it's at 1 o'clock on Friday.
It's Friday in the concert hall.
In the concert hall. And it's yourself and
David O'Shea.
On the piano.
On the piano.
So, to bring this to life, do you sing the songs and tell stories as well, or is it just the songs? How's that?
No, it's quite it's really different and unique to kind of, I don't think there's anyone else that does a recital quite like it, and that keeps his memory alive.
Yes.
And what we do is, my disclaimer to the audience is, I am not impersonating him. John McCormick had his own beautiful, unique sound. I don't sound like him, but I give the best renditions of his songs. So we use original arrangements of music. We dress in the attire that he would have dressed in the morning suit.
Lovely.
So we go as far as we can in replicating what the performance would have been like. And there's a lovely narrative. We tell stories to the audience throughout, and everything's interlinked. So you get all his classics, his I Hear You Calling Me, his Macushlas, the Holy City. And then we kind of look at, we're actually returning with our first, because this is our 10th year doing it, which is madness to think that it's been going for 10 years and the concert hall have us back every year. But we're actually returning with our first programme that we did 10 years ago. So we're digging out the archives, myself and David. And it's just a really nostalgic afternoon, I think, for everyone.
Yes,
From children to, you know, adults and pensioners. It's anyone's kind of game to listen to that kind of music. It's so beautiful.
But the point is that his memory is, like, he's held in very high esteem.
Yeah,
has
absolutely.
Continued to be.
Yeah.
Where some have fallen by the wayside. As you say, we didn't have that many. So therefore, he has this great position.
Yeah.
And we were over in Italy recently, and you think about people like Caruso, who are just kind of idolized still, who still have a very important, people look to him and say, oh, look at him.
And he held McCormick in massive regard as well.
Didn't he?
He absolutely adored his voice.
Yeah,
and he held him in this really high esteem. He had just something about him, I don't know what it is.
He had an air about him, I think.
He had an air about him, and he was a very generous performer for what I've looked at and what I've kind of researched. And I think there was just something very kind about his singing. There's something that really draws you in when you're listening to him.
Yes.
That just kind of makes the listener melt a little bit. And he has that lovely Irish lilt.
Speaking of Irish lilts, we do with him, of course. Here it is.
Yes.
This is the Count, John McCormick. You can hear the cracking.
Oh,
There he is, crackling away in the background.
Yeah, which gives it all that lovely atmosphere. I love the crackling.
What sort of year would that have been? Would you have an idea?
Makusha was probably kind of like, his kind of recording career started around kind of 1910. So Makusha was probably a little after that.
Yeah.
And it's the one that if I sometimes hold it off in the end of a concert and I can feel the audience going, "You better. Where is Makusha? You cannot complete this section
without
Makusha.
Where's the hit? Yeah, if you don't do it otherwise. Listen, you've been travelling. I was looking at your CV and stuff, with the BBC and the Welsh National Opera and everything. Yeah. You're always out there. You're on.
Yeah, I've had like a good stint of it, as they say, Marty singing. Yeah. And I suppose I was just lucky. Got really lucky breaks. When I was studying in DIT, So then heard me and gave me my debut in the concert hall with the concert orchestra, and we did Mendelssohn St. Paul with the late great Cara O'Sullivan, who was a dreamboat, and yes. I kind of cut my teeth through that and then worked the ranks and just kind of pushed my way into as many auditions as I could and worked my way around. So I lived in London for 10 years, but I'd come back every year for this recital. So
right,
it kind of always drew me back home.
But, because of your love for McCormick.
Yeah, yeah. But I've had a good run of it to date and kind of done all the nice roles that I could do so far.
Good for you.
Hopefully
good
more
for you.
To come.
That's what it's all about. Now, we have you singing as well, because will you sing something else other than McCormick, or will it be completely John McCormick?
It's all McCormick related. Anything is linked to him in some way, shape or form that he's recorded or is performed on stage or has been in a programme somewhere along his career. So it's all linked to McCormick.
Yeah. But before we go any further, you've quite the voice, my friend.
Thank you very much.
She Is Far From the Land is the one we have.
This is Frank Lambert's.
You're kind of, you know, you can...
It's a beefy old voice,
Mark. As the fella said, you can rattle the windows with this voice.
I haven't broken glass yet, but... I'm working towards that.
Ella Fitzgerald broke glass, I think.
There you go. I'll have to figure out how she did it.
You can't ring her.
Yeah.
That's the problem now. But you have an enormous voice.
Yeah, and it's something that I've had to kind of really work on over the years. It's a bit like having a wild horse that you're trying to control. You have to keep the reins on it, and it has tendencies to want to be bigger and louder. And I always have to be very mindful of that. My teachers always used to say to me, you always have to balance that, because if it's too heavy and too dark, you'll kill yourself and age yourself before you need to. And singing is all about longevity, and especially the tenor voice. To get up to those lovely high notes like John McCormick, you need that lightness and spin and that agility that you can float up and down through the kind of upper parts of your voice.
Well, let's have a listen. This is you. This is Ross. Now stand well back from the wireless.
Lovers around her are sighing, but
That's all very fine. Ross Scanlon with me, who, of course, as you know, went to the DIT Conservatory of Music and Drama. Yes. But now, listen, on Friday at 1 o'clock, or five past one. From 1 o'clock. A few tickets remain.
There's a small amount left. Yeah. This always sells. But yeah, there's a few remaining if people are. It's actually a really nice treat in your lunch break.
Yeah.
I've had many people come in and they don't know what to do on a Friday. It's the end of the week and they'll run over to the concert hall and you're out. You'll be back in the office just after 2 o'clock.
It's a great idea.
Or within the hour. It's such a great system that they have going in there.
And are you still continuing to work with other people as roles come available? And
yeah,
all of that?
Absolutely. So I've just come from Cork in the Opera House down there. We did the new John O'Brien opera Morrigan, which was a huge success. It went really well. It was just great to be back in the rehearsal room. It's been so quiet. Everyone's spoken about this, Marty. It's been so quiet.
I know.
Because of the whole COVID situation. But it really was a treat to be back in rehearsals and just doing what I only know
what to do.
I don't know anything else. I really don't. It's just been my life from, the last time I was in here was talking to you with Opera Collective Ireland, which would have been Irish youth opera at the time, McLeth McGatton. And that's another great, there's such great opportunities. Like the Ronnie Dunn last night in Dublin. There's such a wealth of Irish singers and we're all kind of flying the flag in some part of the country.
She did a great job.
I listened to it last night. But you have all these companies in town and they've all been really generous to me over the years and I hope to, continue to work with them. I do a little bit more teaching now than singing at the moment just because of the situation the last few years. But some promising things coming up next year and the year after and we're going to run because it's the 10th year this year. We want to keep the John McCormick kind of music alive and it's a treat for me because I've always loved it and it's also a treat for the audience. There's always great feedback from everyone.
And people will get that. It's genuine. It's a real love.
Absolutely.
Just a reminder again, it's on Friday, this Friday, NCH. It's 1 o'clock, five past one o'clock. And it'll be Ross with David O'Shea on the piano. I wish you well and thanks for coming in today. You're a gentleman every time.
I hope to see you soon.
And you came in here with no notes.
No notes. Off book, Martin.
I don't know how you do it. It's all in your head. You're highly educated.